Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin, the fifth parak, Hasochas Apoel. The Zichu Masechta Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Av Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son, Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Av Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates numerous incidents in which an Akum was found alone with a Jew's wine. Once in a Jew's inn, which housed barrels of wine, an Akum was found sinning among the barrels. Rab ruled im nitpas alav kaganav if he would be seized because of it as a thief, meaning he would have no excuse for touching the Jew's wine. The wine is permitted because his fear of being caught prevents him from doing nisach. If he would not be considered a thief for touching the wine, it's prohibited. Another incident involved a house in which a Jew's wine was stored, and an Akum was found inside among the barrels. Rav ruled that Yisrael Gishtimute, if he has an excuse for entering in the house, so he would not be presumed a thief, the wine is prohibited. Rashi explains that although he has no excuse for touching the wine, his entering the house indicates that he intended to be menasechet. However, if he has no excuse for entering the house, the wine is permitted, for although his entering may indicate a desire to be menasech, he would be too anxious about being discovered to do so. Point number two, a woman once gave the key to her wine store to an idolatress. Rabbi Yitzhak reported a ruling from Rabbi Lazar in a similar incident. She entrusted her with nothing but guarding the key, but gave no permission for the idolatress to enter her store, so the wine is permitted. Abai supported this from a Mishnah which taught that if one gave his keys to an Ama Aretz, his Tahara items remained Tahara because he only entrusted him with guarding the key. Abai concluded, if one's taharos remain tahor in such a case, is it not obviously so regarding yain nesach as well? The Gemara infers from Abai's language that taharos are stricter than yain nesach. This is supported from a machlokas about a chatzer belonging to a chaver and an ama aretz, which was divided with a low boundary marker. Rav said that his taharos are considered tameh because the ama aretz may have touched them despite the boundary marking. But in a parallel case with an akum, the Jew's wine would not be considered yain nesach. Rabbi Yochan says even the taharos remain tahar. Rav's position demonstrates that the standards for taharos are stricter. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Boleshes sheniknasa le'ir, if a legion of soldiers entered a city, b'shal shalom, if it was during peacetime, chavias psuchos asuros, stumos mutaros, the open barrels are prohibited and the sealed ones are permitted. Since it was peacetime, they had time to perform nisok with wine from the open barrels. The sealed barrels were presumably not open since soldiers would not bother to reseal barrels. B'shas mochama, however, if they came during wartime, both types of barrels are permitted, l'fisha ein panai l'nasech, because there's no time during a war to make libations. The Gemara asks that this Mishnah contradicts another about a city which was conquered by an army. It teaches that all Kohanim's wives are forbidden to their husbands out of concern they were violated by the conquering soldiers. This proves that even during wartime, the soldiers have time for other activities. Rav Mari answers, l'nasech ein panai, to pour libations, there's no time. Libo yesh panai, but to have relations, there is time since their desire for it is greater. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara relates numerous incidents in which an Akum was found alone with a Jew's wine. Once in a Jew's inn, which housed barrels of wine, an Akum was found sinning among the barrels. Rab ruled im nitpas alav kaganav if he would be seized because of it as a thief, meaning he would have no excuse for touching the Jew's wine. The wine is permitted because his fear of being caught prevents him from doing nisach. If he would not be considered a thief for touching the wine, it's prohibited. Another incident involved a house in which a Jew's wine was stored, and an Akum was found inside among the barrels. Rav ruled that Yisrael Gishtimute, if he has an excuse for entering in the house, so he would not be presumed a thief, the wine is prohibited. Rashi explains that although he has no excuse for touching the wine, his entering the house indicates that he intended to be menasechet. However, if he has no excuse for entering the house, the wine is permitted, for although his entering may indicate a desire to be menasech, he would be too anxious about being discovered to do so. Point number two, a woman once gave the key to her wine store to an idolatress. Rabbi Yitzhak reported a ruling from Rabbi Lazar in a similar incident. She entrusted her with nothing but guarding the key, but gave no permission for the idolatress to enter her store, so the wine is permitted. Abai supported this from a Mishnah which taught that if one gave his keys to an Ama Aretz, his Tahara items remained Tahara because he only entrusted him with guarding the key. Abai concluded, if one's taharos remain tahor in such a case, is it not obviously so regarding yain nesach as well? The Gemara infers from Abai's language that taharos are stricter than yain nesach. This is supported from a machlokas about a chatzer belonging to a chaver and an ama aretz, which was divided with a low boundary marker. Rav said that his taharos are considered tameh because the ama aretz may have touched them despite the boundary marking. But in a parallel case with an akum, the Jew's wine would not be considered yain nesach. Rabbi Yochanan says even the taharos remain tahar. Rav's position demonstrates that the standards for taharos are stricter. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Boleshes sheniknasa le'ir, if a legion of soldiers entered a city, b'shal shalom, if it was during peacetime, chavias psuchos asuros, stumos mutaros, the open barrels are prohibited and the sealed ones are permitted. Since it was peacetime, they had time to perform nisok with wine from the open barrels. The sealed barrels were presumably not open since soldiers would not bother to reseal barrels. B'shas mochama, however, if they came during wartime, both types of barrels are permitted, l'fisha ein panai l'nasek, because there's no time during a war to make libations. The Gemara asks that this Mishnah contradicts another about a city which was conquered by an army. It teaches that all Kohanim's wives are forbidden to their husbands out of concern they were violated by the conquering soldiers. This proves that even during wartime, the soldiers have time for other activities. Rav Mari answers, l'nasek ein panai, to pour libations, there's no time. Libo yesh panai, but to have relations, there is time, since their desire for it is greater. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Ayin, and our standard Siman is an eye doctor, an eye doctor. So here goes. After the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an amaretz, he tested him by looking at a picture of a legion of soldiers entering a city during peacetime and count the open barrels of wine that became Yai Nesach. Once again, slow motion. After the eye doctor, that must be Ron Duff, Ayin. After the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, which reminds us, the Gemara relates numerous incidents in which an Akum was found alone with the Jew's wine. Once in a Jew's inn which housed barrels of wine, an Akum was found sitting among the barrels. Rav ruled that im nitpas lav kagana, if he would be seized because of it as a thief, meaning he would have no excuse for touching the Jew's wine, the wine is permitted because his fear of being caught prevents him from doing nisuch. If he would not be considered a thief for touching the wine, it's prohibited. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an amaretz, which reminds us, a Mishnah taught that if one gave his keys to an amaretz, his tahor items remained tahor because he only entrusted him with guarding the key. Abai concluded, if one's taharos remain tahor, in such a case, is it not obviously so regarding Yain Nesach as well? The Gemara infers from Abai's language that taharos are stricter than Yain Nesach. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an amaretz, he tested him by looking at a picture of a legion of soldiers entering a city during peacetime and count the open barrels of wine that became Yain Nesach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Boleshes shenichnasa le'ir, if a legion of soldiers entered a city, b'shal shalom, if it was during peacetime, the open barrels are prohibited and the sealed ones are permitted. Since it was peacetime, they had time to perform nisuch with wine from the open barrels. The sealed barrels were presumably not open since soldiers would not bother to reseal barrels. B'shas mochama, however, if they came during wartime, both types of barrels are permitted, levi she'en panai l'nasech, because there was no time during a war to make libations. So once again, after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key entrusted to an amaretz, he tested him by looking at a picture of a legion of soldiers entering a city during peacetime and count the open barrels of wine that became Yai Nesach. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazar. Daf Samach Vav. So the Siman Daf Samach Vav is sewing, and we often use a tailor in the Siman. So here goes. The tailor sewing. Tailor sewing? That must more on Daf Samach Vav. The tailor sewing Basar Tama and Basar Shema tags for the two rabbis debating a case of new wine yesach that fell into grapes, which reminds us regarding Chamra Chadusa Ba'anve, new wine mixed in grapes. Abai holds Basar Tama Azlinan. We follow the flavor when classifying elements. Since new wine and grapes taste the same, they're considered min b'mino, so even a mashu of wine prohibits the grapes. Rava holds Basar Shema Azlinan. We follow the name of the items, and since they have different names, wine and grapes, they're considered min b'she'eno mino, and only prohibit benois and tam. So that Taylor sewing Buster Tum and Buster Shma tags with two rabbis debating a case of new Yain Nesach that fell into graves, knocked over a jug of wine which fell into a barrel of vinegar, changing its smell, which reminds us, if forbidden wine fell into vinegar, the wine smell changes to that of vinegar when it entered the vinegar's airspace before mixing into the wine. In this case, Abai says the vinegar is prohibited with a mashu of wine because he holds recho chala v'tama chamra chala. Wine whose smell is vinegar and flavor is wine is considered vinegar, so it's considered min bimino with the actual vinegar. Rava says the vinegar is prohibited ben noisin tam because he holds recho chala v'tama chamra chamra. Wine whose smell is vinegar and flavor is wine is considered wine, so it's considered min bishino mino with the vinegar. So the tailor sewing Basar Tama and Basar Shma tags are the two rabbis debating a case of new wine Yain Nesach that fell into graves, knocked over a jug of wine which fell into a barrel of vinegar, changing its smell, when he warned his son not to place hot bread on a barrel of Truma wine because Recha Milsihi, which reminds us, a Mishnah states, Haroda Pas Chama, if one removes hot bread from an oven, but Nasna Pichavi Shel Yain Shel Truma, and put it onto a barrel of Truma wine, Remeir prohibits the bread to be consumed by a non-Kohen because the bread absorbed the aroma of Truma and Rebbe Yehuda permits it. Rebbe Meir clearly holds Recha Milsihi, like Abaya, and Rebbe Yehuda appears to hold Recha Lav Milsihi, like Rava. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. At the Bachrim's barbecue, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. At the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled no sin tum with gum isrin to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, which reminds us Reish Lakish qualifies a permit of no sin tum with gum. This does not apply where people say the pot of food is missing salt or has too much salt or has too little or too much spice, meaning if there are additional factors contributing to the detrimental flavor, it is not considered no sin tum with gum and remains forbidden. Rather, kosha ein chasera klum, any mixture which is not missing anything, ve'ena ne'achel es mifnei zeh, and is not eaten, meaning it's less desirable only because of this forbidden flavor, is permitted as no sin tum of gum. The Gemara brings another version of Reish Lakish. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled no sin tum of gum isrin to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalav into a pot of beans, making them usser with no malchus, which reminds us, if a mixture only includes the forbidden food's flavor but not the substance, meaning melted chalav fell into a pot of food, usser ve'in lokin lab, it's prohibited, but one does not incur malchus for eating it. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled no sin tum of gum isrin to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalav into a pot of beans, making them usher with no malchus, the Bachrim at the picnic table realized the steaks were placed on a goy's plates and debated if there's a heter of no sin tum of gum or not, which reminds us, our Bryce records a malchokas about nosin tam of gum. Rabbi Meir says, echad nosin tam of gum, whether a forbidden food gives flavor to the mixture's detriment, echad nosin tam with shevach, or whether it gives flavor to its improvement, it's forbidden. Rabbi Shimon says, nosin tam of gum is permitted. Rabbi Meir derives his opinion from Geuli of the Chochavim, the emissions of idolatrous kelim. The Torah required removing all forbidden flavor absorbed in utensils taken from Midian, although such flavors were nosin tam of gum, since presumably there was more than one day old. Rabbi Shimon would respond, La Sartoria el Kedera Bas Yoma. The Torah only prohibited a pot used that same day, whose flavor is not detrimental. However, Rabbi Meir would counter, Kedera Bas Yoma Nami Yefshar de la Pagma Purta. Even a pot used that day, it's impossible that it's not somewhat detrimental to the food cooked afterwards in it. Dav Samaches. So the Simran Dav Samaches is Schach. So here goes. At the Nosin Tam of Gum Carnival, Harun the Sukkah was Schach. Sukkah was Schach? That must be around Dav Samaches. At the Nosin Tam of Gum Carnival held in the sukkah with schach, dripping with aser vinegar, the kids were having a blast, watching iser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame the food's flavor, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokas if Nosin Tam of Gum is by hishpiach ubaso pagam or by pagam miikara. So, at the Nosin Tum of Gum Carnival, held in the sukkah with schach, dripping with aser vinegar, the kids were having a blast watching iser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame the food's flavor, and watching dough rise from leaven of truma and chulin together, which reminds the Braisa taught that if truma, leaven, and chulin fell simultaneously into a dough, and first leavened it and then ruined it, the rabbanan prohibit the dough because the prohibited leaven caused the dough to be leavened faster than it would have with only the chulin leaven. Rabbi Shimon permits the dough because although it was first improved, the permitted and prohibited leavens improved it together. Rabbi Shimon is following his view that afilo isser ve isser namin gomit starfe, even one prohibition and another prohibition do not combine to prohibit a mixture. So at the Nos and Tum of Gum Carnival held in the sukkah with schach dripping with usser vinegar, the kids were having a blast watching isser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame, the food's flavor, and watching dough rise from leaven of truma and chulin together. When their father said the party's over because a mouse fell into his beer, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the din is regarding Nos and Tum of Gum in a case where a mouse fell into some beer. Daf Samech Tes. So the similar Daf Samech Tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The chimney sweep, that must be more in Daf Samech Tes, soot. The chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches the laws of leaving wine with an idolater. If an Akum was transporting jugs of wine for a Jew from place to place, if it was in a state of supervision, it's permitted, meaning even if the Jew traveled at a distance, the Akum is afraid the Jew may appear at any moment and doesn't touch the wine. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, which reminds us, if an employer told his Amma Arts workers transporting his taro produce, go ahead and I'll follow you later, then as soon as he could not see them, they're considered tame. The Gemara explains that the cases where he was matire his workers in a mikvah, so they're not matame the foods by carrying them. The concern is that ein Amma Arts makbid al mago chavero, and Amma Arts is not particular about his friends touching the owner's taros, so he may have allowed someone he met to touch them, rendering them tame. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker, transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, couldn't see that up ahead a goy was drinking from a yid's barrel of wine by putting a straw in the air hole, which reminds us, we don't leave wine barrels with the akum nowadays because of the air hole, a very small hole in a barrel's cover to allow the wine's aroma to escape. We're concerned that the akum may squeeze a straw through this hole and drink some of the wine. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do we discuss a case where truma leaven and chulin leaven fell simultaneously into a dough and first leavened it and then ruined it? That's on duff. Samaches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss whether a ger toshav can be mevatel an idol? That's on daf. Samach dalad. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we, when the yain nesach fell into grapes, he washes them off and they're permitted because no wine was absorbed into the grapes? That's on daf. Samach hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss a legion of soldiers entering a city and the question of which barrels of wine are prohibited as yain nesach? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we mechokes if nosim tum of gum is by hishpiach ubasop pagam or by pagam mikara? That's on daf. Samaches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that if a mixture only includes a forbidden food's flavor but not its substance, such as melted chalav that fell into a pot of food, it's prohibited but one does not incur malchus for it? That's on daf. Samach Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss a case where someone gave an Amma Arts the keys to where his Torah items were kept, and we learn that the Haras are stricter than Yain Nesach? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss a case where forbidden wine fell into vinegar and the wine smell changes, and whether you go after the flavor or the smell to determine min bimino? That's on daf. Samach Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if an Akum was found sitting among the barrels of wine in a Jew's inn? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that we do not leave wine barrels with an Akum nowadays because of the air hole? That's on daf. Samach Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.